I Tell Stories is brought to you by Somewhere, Cannabis Dispensary, Portland, Oregon, Hillock Supply, and people like you.
It was all I could think about. Bottles of rum we drinking now. Get off my stool, I'm thinking how my brethren next to me sinking scowls. Pass that shit with a winking smile. Marijuana, huge stinking pal. Muskets and sabers could drink them now. Background piano with a blinking style. Friends with Benjamin, but we some veterans. And if you got a scheme, we consider bring after them pieces, after them dividends. Trying to rise from the seasons we living in.
This whole story, though, my friend, makes me, made me think of a guy who, if it was under any other circumstances, has an amazing nickname, I feel. Okay. And his name is Henry Box Brown.
Yes.
Yeah, you heard of Mr. Brown. Okay.
So I have.
Yeah.
For a magician, I believe.
He was something of the sorts. I've looked into a lot of his things, and yes, he did have quite the trick up his sleeve here and there. Here's what I'm gonna start off with. It's a copy of a letter respecting Henry Box Brown. Henry Box Brown's escape from slavery, and it's a verification of Patrick Henry's speech in Virginia Legislature, March 1775, when he said, "Give me liberty or give me death," and that's kind of what he references in that. So anyway. Here is a man who has been the hero of one of the most extraordinary achievements I have ever heard of. He came to me on a Saturday morning last in a box tightly hooped marked "This Side Up" by Overland Express from the city of Richmond. Did you ever hear of anything in all of your life to beat that? Nothing that was done on the barricades of Paris exceeded this cool and deliberate intrepidity. To appreciate fully the boldness and risk of the achievement, you ought to see the box and hear all the circumstances. The box is in the clear 3 feet 1 inch long, 2 feet 6 inches deep, and 2 feet wide. It was a regular old store box, such as you see in Pearl Street. It was grooved at the joints and braced at the ends. So it's a big, like, you know, wooden crate. You know what I'm saying? He left himself the very slightest crevice to admit the air. Nothing saved him from suffocation but the free use of water, a quantity of which he took in with him in a beast bladder, which I don't, so I'm assuming a cow's bladder. That's interesting. That's pretty cool. So this goes on for a little while because it's pretty fucked up, because the guy like goes on and on to this whole adventure, and I kind of want to touch on a little bit of it. He actually got tipped over. And then he had to shift himself back into position. And when you think about this box, this guy's like 5'8", dude, and about 200 pounds. So let's go back. I'm going to go back up here and look at these dimensions, okay? So the box isn't clear 3 feet 1 inch long. This guy's 5'8", 2 feet 6 inches deep, and 2 feet wide. So he's like crouched down in a box. Like, you know what I mean? Imagine a fucking box and he's like crouched all up in there and shit, you know? And he's like going on steamships and everything and doing all this crazy shit. Anyway, so you can better imagine that I describe my sensations when in answer to my rap on the box. This is after the box was delivered at this gentleman's address. The prompt response came, "All right, sir. The man weighs 200 pounds, is about 5 feet 8 inches in height, and is, as you will see, a noble-looking fellow. He will tell you the whole story." You know, so he, like, gets out, and he shipped himself to an abolitionist in the North and succeeded. That was basically the gist of the story. But there's quite a bit more to this. The thing that I thought was intriguing about him is apparently this guy had a beef with Frederick Douglass of sorts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, at least he didn't care for him, because part of it is that he... Well, here, let me just read you a Frederick Douglass excerpt here. Frederick Douglass, a well-known escaped slave, activist, and writer, criticized Brown for revealing the details of his escape in his narrative, "My Bondage and My Freedom." Douglass said, Had not Henry Box Brown attracted slaveholding attention to the manner of his escape, we might have had 1,000 Box Browns per annum. So they had, that's vintage beef, right? But I do kind of agree with him on that ish. But
yeah, that's the thing, is like I can't really side either way. I see both perspectives on that. And again, if it hadn't just been, if
I don't know, man.
People that were Christians mostly had just treated other human beings as such, then this wouldn't have been an
right,
issue.
As
but
Jesus taught them to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some pretty
But
fucking
I don't even believe in Jeebus.
Yeah. There's actually a little fucked up narrative there that I read that was within this Box Brown story, and it's also like, I actually read some of his book that he put out. And the one part of it is, and I'm going to paraphrase it, and it's not going to be exact to the thing, but basically there was this Southern prayer kind of, or story, whatever you want to call it, that told a story of, so there's two black guys and two white guys, and basically they're in this place, and all the abundance of nature is so great, and it's just so whatever, you know, and they're so happy, and apparently in the story, the black guys start getting on the white guy's nerves, and so they pray to God for a solution. And within that solution, God drops two bags. One bag is, like, heavy. Another one is pretty light. Well, anyway, the black guy gets there first because he's faster and everything is what they say. And picks up the one bag that's the heavy one. And then the white guy picks up the other bag. The black guy's bag holds a hoe and, like, a shovel. And so he's destined to work. And then the white guy's holds a pen and a piece of paper, so he's destined to do stuff like that, apparently. So that was like a big belief system they had. There's like, I'd never even heard of any shit like that until I read that in that Box Brown's book, you know.
Huh.
And that an insane little like whatnot, or I don't know. But yeah, so you know, Frederick Douglass was a little upset about it, but this guy was a lot more, he was educated, and in his writings also, he says that, like, you know, some people have criticized him for escaping, or why would he do that because he had it so good kind of deal. And his answer to that was, he's like, well, you know, I didn't have it that bad. I actually had a really good master, whatever, right? So, and he said, but he's like, although I was basically free with my body and I wasn't being mistreated, I was not free in my mind. And, like, he couldn't do anything. Like, what he couldn't live his own life and all these other things, you know. I can't remember what he did,
right,
which is, like, a disservice. But nonetheless, it makes sense to me. It rings true. And, like, who the fuck is anybody else to, like, tell anybody that they can't, like, go do something, right? You know, or live their life, you know. And that's another thing that's pretty cool about pirates, guys. Very much so freedom fighters as well. They're all about the free choice and living your life. But here's what Mr. Brown did as well, which is freaking amazing, I thought. So after he was encouraged to document his story and all these things, he saved money to pursue a novel, which he did, right? And then he also wanted to create a moving abolition panorama, which, if you don't know what that is, a moving panorama was very popular. It's kind of like what was there first before cinema, I guess, in a way. And so anyway, a panoramic painting is a massive artwork that reveals a wide, all-encompassing view of a particular subject, often a landscape, military battle, or historical event. They became especially popular in the 19th century in Europe and in the United States. So what it was they'd have these big panoramic paintings behind him talking, and it would move through different paintings of acts of slavery. And, like, he toured all over the place doing that, and he was extremely successful and basically, like, spread the word of, like, you guys, like, to see this right in front of your fucking face like this was changing minds. You know what I'm saying? Like, he, like, really put it forefront, I guess. And then, you know, he faced a lot of danger. He was attacked in 1850 in Providence, Rhode Island, while he was doing one of these shows. There's still a lot of things that go on, you know. He connected it deeply with, like, the Nubian slave kind of idea. And it comes from, he tied it in with America's fascination at the time of Egypt and their slavery and such. So that was kind of how he was helping to sell this whole deal. So I don't know. There was a lot to that. But point being is this guy did a lot more than just ship himself in a box, Mr. Frederick Douglass. I actually, at this point, feel like I may be on Box Brown's side. That, like, I'm glad he went out there. Because yet again, this is pre-Civil War, guys. This is, like, guys who are out there trying to rally the troops to, like, go do things. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Civil War didn't start, I believe, 1860. I know it ended in 1865.
I do know that A1 steak sauce was created sometime before.
During the Civil War.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's something else. Yeah, and I don't mean to downplay Frederick Douglass either. I just thought it was kind of like, you know, vintage beef can be kind of funny. Like, why do they even got to hate on each other? They should be shaking hands, you know? There was that thing I read one time where, like, because Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln were well-known friends, right? And, or something of the effect. I'm not going to claim I know a ton about this shit. But they ended up kind of beefing at one point, I heard, too. So, I think I have the word beef in my head because that he had to use the beef bladder for water. It could be a thing. Nonetheless, hey, you know, guys, nothing about this is funny. You know, it's not like it's different for us to do something that's like this. I mean, we've done some pretty like disturbing shit, I feel. Not like a ton, though, because we're really not like that. You know, we've done, but like the episode of Lobster Boy. You know,
yeah.
But even within that, you know, there's attempts to sneak in humor and things like that. But it's pretty difficult on this, and I don't want to. You know, I mean, I do like his nickname, Henry Box Brown. That's a hell of a name. Sounds like he could have been. Yeah. You know, I don't know what he could have done otherwise. What, you know, been a boxer? I don't know. You know, but nonetheless, pretty interesting.
And sorry,
go ahead.
I just. 1861 is when the Civil War started. It did end in 1865, but yeah, it was brewing for a little while. But yeah, it was April of 1861.
Right. You know,
I do remember some of the stuff I took. I always joke that I manage and I'm going to own a head shop and
yeah,
what have you, because I took English and history in college. So.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I know it. And
wasn't much work in.
Right.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
Not to become a professor.
No shit. One of the things that Ellen William Craft did as well, and I don't have exact notes on this, but I read it multiple times. And this is to put this shit into perspective for everybody, okay? They toured Africa as well, talking to kings and talking to people around the other parts of the world, trying to get them to end their part in slavery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they, you know, there's a thing here, guys, is, and I also want to point, like, I mean, I'm just putting this all in perspective for people that don't understand that this, the North Atlantic slave trade was crazy, right? And all that shit. But it's not like, I don't know. There's always this going on. There's this going on right now. It's just not the same people, right?
Right. Well, and even just the, you know, all the shit the English did. It's like they just started with, and I have blood on both sides of it. Like some of my people started to enslave some of my
other people,
more prevalent bloodline people to the north. Like I'm more Scottish than, at least I definitely.
And then they...
It did seem like it was that. Right. But yeah, then they're like, oh, hey, we got these honkies. Like, who knows what we'll find that we can just take their shit and enslave their people. And
yeah, and then they sold
bring
them
back delicious
to,
spices.
Yeah, sold them to part of my people, which took them to the Arab world and then sold them and traded them for other people. And then, they, you know, and this is in Africa and all that shit. You know, because the Vikings, they came back and forth from Ireland, actually. And Scotland both had kind of hubs and such. But then the Irish became slaves pretty hardcore for quite a while there. And then, yeah. And then previous to that, the Romans enslaved basically everybody but Scotland. Right? Isn't that that way?
Well, yeah, because they showed up in the Picts. They were just like, okay, we're building a wall.
Hadrian's Wall, yeah.
Hadrian's Wall, yeah. They're like, these guys are whacking dooley doo. Like, yeah. Let's just keep these nutcases.
Yeah. Did you see that guy's club? Did you know? Want to hear something that Scotland fact that's kind of crazy on this offshoot of our episode is that the bagpipes, right? They're not from Scotland. They were actually from England, or from Egypt. From England. From Egypt. That's where bagpipes come from, is Egypt. So it's kind of a
dang.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew they weren't Scottish. There's an old good friend, hopefully friend of the show at some point. I think I may reconnect with him pretty soon. Devin, he was Irish completely, or, you know, probably not, but that's what they, and I sided more with the Scottish, even though I do have some Irish blood. And he said, you know, the Irish gave the Scottish the bagpipes, and they still don't get the joke.
Oh, God. So. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, wow. Well, okay, see, we had to talk about some other shit in order to fit in some humor. That's because we were dead serious about what we were just kind of speaking on. Hopefully, maybe it'll illuminate some of this for somebody who doesn't know shit about fuck, or maybe even somebody who does know something.
Thank you, professor.
Because, like, you should just... I'm not saying that, like, you should... Point being is you should already be happy these guys escaped. You shouldn't be, like... There should be no viewpoint on this subject of, like, well, maybe they, you know, they shouldn't have broke the law by running away. You know?
I don't know. Fuck that.
Yeah, if you have that... Yeah, if you have that perspective, please never listen to this show again.
Yes.
By all means, go eat a bag. Yeah, so nonetheless, hey man, Owen, yet again, finding a fascinating one. And with good timing as well, I think.
Well, yeah, this is something I've wanted to do for a while, but then as we were
right,
you know, sometimes we're scrambling with all the life things to get this done, and Colt has to do all the work. As far as once we record it, he has to edit it, and I, you know.
Yeah, thanks though. Thanks for the acknowledging.
I'd have as good of a chance of building a spaceship in my garage as I would doing all the work that Colt does on this. So it's hard for us sometimes to get things out, but the timing worked out on this.
It is
Black History Month in February. although it should be. This should be celebrated every day of the, you know, anyone. Again, this is stuff that I didn't learn about in history in school, even college.
Yeah.
Because maybe I didn't take history in February.
Yeah, in February. But
it's just like, why is this not a widely known
story? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully it is now.
Yeah.
But just the...
Thanks to I Tell Stories. Just saying.
Yeah, well, and the crafts, like, they had something to do.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, but we're relaying this message. Dick.
We're taking all the credit.
Yeah. Fuck, how honky of us.
No.
yes, sir. Yeah. Nonetheless.
But no, just an amazing, like, just the human spirit to do that, to be able to accomplish all of that and then go on to help other people and encourage just decency, like just treating human beings decently, something that seems like it should be a
right,
just an instinct is not. I mean, it's still not. You go to the grocery store and people are yelling at the store clerk because they had to wait in line, and it's just like, wait, you're bitching about this? If someone were to think about what the crafts went through just to get what should be basic human rights,
right?
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, your satellite dish glitched out for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
These people endured horror and... Yeah.
No, I'm in agreement with you, my friend. I am 100% on your team with that. If you want to check us out a little bit more, you can stop by pitlocksupply.com. We have some shirts. We have, just a lot of stuff going on. Or stop in Owen's shop at Cold Smoke in Billings, Montana. So check him out. Check out the man himself part-time. I mean, sometimes there's another employee there, but you might just happen to catch yourself a face full of Owen, and you can say, hey, bro, tell me his story. He's got plenty of them. You should... Hey, you know...
Might even make you a sandwich.
Yeah, he might make you a sandwich. That's a real thing, guys, but I encourage you to walk in there and just be like, you Owen? And then he says yes. Be like, will you tell me a story? He'll know what's up now. I hope that happens to you. How weird would that be? Okay. It'd be best...
Hopefully someone from Serbia, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Serbia or Malta.
Oh, which... Fun tale. I received a text message. I guess I don't see why this would be inappropriate or anything, but next door to where we are, 1802 First Avenue North in Billings, for years, and everyone I've met that's ever even been to Billings knows of Tokyo Sauna, that was an Asian massage parlor. Well, my coworker Mike sent me a picture just of a van pulling away, and he said that a van full of people that were like from India, he thought from the accent and everything, but they're all of Indian descent. They all came in like asking about Tokyo Sauna, and he said they looked quite embarrassed when he informed them they were no longer around.
Oh,
and they all
man.
Filed into the van and sped away.
Oh, damn. Is that recent? You didn't even tell me that.
Today, this is a couple hours ago. He sent me a text message of the picture. We could post of just the van. It doesn't show anyone. And I'm not the morality police. I don't, but it just, they're obviously like disappointed and embarrassed. But,
like, we're going to rent this van and go.
No Asian massages for
you gentlemen.
Our friends from the nearer Far East.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just being descriptive, people. You know, yeah. So, nonetheless.
I mean, yeah, if it was a bus full of Swedish people, it would have been fun. So, I don't think, but it was just like, you know. And
what would they be like? We're sick of the Swedish massages.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Hey, anyway, on that note.
Much love, everybody. Not that kind.